Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Great morning. What up, y'all? Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Tis Thursday morning, 7:30 in the a.m. 7:32 in the a.m. What up, though?
Portland, Oregon.
Shout out to Kyle. I remembered to push record this morning. We're in good shape. I love that guy so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Hi, Kyle.
Yeah.
I probably won't see you on Saturday. Unfortunately.
So, hi, Kyle.
What up, y'all?
What up?
Happy Thursday. The fiancés are tie red.
Yeah. He's tying the reds. It's for sure.
And I know some folks are going to be like, Ambush should be way, 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 way more tired than Morgan. Because Ambush has been everywhere, visibly showing up. First of all, thank you, Ambush, for carrying Monday.
Heck yeah.
Like the incredible fiance that you are.
Thanks, babes.
It's terrifying. You made it look a little easier.
Did I?
You did.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I went into the show thinking about one of my like most treasured people that does the news and feeling like you got to find a way to balance it out and make it work because dude does a whole show by himself. Does he have a team of writers? Yes, but it still comes off very authentic and amazing. So I'm working on developing my John Oliver. I'm really working.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know that's where you were going.
I was like, he does, like, I watch,
yeah,
like, every single week I watch his little, whatever the main story is on YouTube. And I'm like, dude just goes.
Yeah.
Of course, again, there's a team of writers, but it's just, man, I'm like, so it can be done. It can be done in a very, very, very enjoyable way. And you got to work on it. You got to practice. Practice is going to make them perfect, you know, plus having writers. So, Jess, I'm going to need you to help me.
Oh. Writing. Wow.
Yeah. Jess was very vocal this week.
Added responsibilities.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Jess really was he helped a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to be on microphone, but it's still helpful to just have him in the room chatting back and forth. You know?
I got
to
say, from the chat, I liked hearing his voice, even though it wasn't on the mic.
Nice.
Like, it was like, ah! So that's what it sounds like from over here.
Right.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Jess, can we pull up, you know. It was great. It was great.
Good morning, AJ. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've been everywhere. You've been doing everything.
I totally forgot my People's Market until you mentioned it just now.
Because it seems like it was not last weekend.
Sort of forever ago.
Yeah. Because it's been that busy. And you have really been holding it down in the... in the forefront while I am
dealing with the home front.
Dealing with the home front. Not even my own home front. I'm just going to keep...
Not even my own homestead.
Exactly. I'm just going to keep coming back to this microphone and being like, it's so hard. Because it is. It is so hard. The running one household is hard. I won't take it away, but like, you know, if you are a single person.
Yeah.
I always ran my single person household. That is work. When there are more people, it's more work.
Yeah.
Running multiple households.
Bruv.
All while for free 99. Yeah. And many times not a thank you. I'm not loving it. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Absolutely not my favorite. Could find way better uses of my time, but I can't at the moment.
So I won't.
These are the uses of my time. My time is not mine. Not a fan of that.
Mm-mm. Need my time back.
I would like to.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
So I'm not, you know, as visible in the moment, but I'm not like being a slouch somewhere.
Definitely. You know, there's no slouching with this one. No slouching nor half stepping.
Oh, I like it. Because yeah, there ain't no half stepping around here.
No.
Not even a little bit.
Geneva wouldn't have it.
Wouldn't.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Mm-mm. So real quick, we did have My People's Market. It was a very busy weekend. Yes. We got up there, did our MC 1-2 thing.
It's true.
Had a wonderful time.
Shout out to the dancers, man.
I was going to say, multiple highlights.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Rashonda at YGB for continuously, the curation of entertainment is always just, the level up just continues to happen.
Wow.
But for me, I got to say that the biggest is always getting to meet fiancés in the wild.
Talk about it.
And we got to meet Bob.
Bob.
Everybody.
Bob and Dan.
Fiancés.
Bob. Bob, where are you, Bob? Bob.
We got to meet Bob in person. It was so exciting.
It was amazing. That was amazing.
I was geeked for like the next hour. Yeah. Just like smiling so big.
I didn't even ask him if I could hug him. I just hugged him.
It's true. Yeah. Same. Yeah. We just went right in.
Yeah.
So we got to meet Bob. Got to meet Deborah. Shout out to Michelle and Ross.
Hey.
Showing up. Showing out. And Marcus and Miranda.
Yes.
How y'all doing?
Yes.
That was so big.
Yeah. Cameron.
Cameron.
Yes.
You know, it's because Cam is an existing person in my life.
Right.
I forget that Cameron is also a fiance. Cameron, I love you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to forget. So. Also, baby is so cute. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But per use, My People's Market, you know, a nice, amazing collective of vendors. The food was great. Like, entertainment was great. We met DJ Mint Whisper on this My People's Market, and DJ Omi, the homie DJ LaFleur, rocked it. Like, it was just incredible. Incredible. The cultural dance we had for both days, also amazing. And then just seeing, you know, the fam come out, bumping into some of the same vendors we normally see that had just become My People's Market family. And then people just come out to support, like seeing AJ out there, another fiance. Is that's another one where it's like, but this is close personal homegirl, but also happened to be a fiance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, seeing AJ. Of course you've seen AJ because we hang out. Of course. Yes. But like, it was amazing. It was really, it's really healing to be around that much love while you're working.
Yeah.
And then also, again, to be able to meet people that we have a radio relationship with, also very healing. Just like, oh, so good. A shout out to the location, the crews. Like, they really set us up for greatness with the stage and everything. Like, that whole shaded area.
Ooh.
Woo.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The heat was the only enemy of progress that day. That's it. But we stayed hydrated the whole weekend.
We did.
And it was dope, man. No harm, no foul. Yeah. So good.
And those wings.
Well, no.
Just going to say it.
JV Wings, they do what they do.
They do what they do.
And the steak.
And the sausage.
And the sausage. Yeah.
And the rice was bacon.
Hello.
Like, big fan.
And they have two locations now. So it's like, I got to, you know.
Got to get over there.
I can't just keep waiting for My People's Market. I got to walk in one day and be like, guys, you know.
Give me the big plate.
Let's do it. 25. Then give me the thing. Yeah. Yeah, for real. But yes, My People's Market. Incredible. It's been a run.
Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, good. It is so hard morning.
Mm.
Watching House of Representatives dysfunction like a reality show my life depends on. Michelle, yikes. The way I have been refreshing Al Jazeera's live coverage to know what is happening, because I actually can't stand to watch it.
Yeah, this is scary hours, bro.
Last night I was like, ooh, action. Look at this. I'm writing the news. I'm feeling like, okay, this is, you know, we're going to talk about Trump's BBL. I mean, Big Bill or big, whatever he calls it.
Whatever.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that because we might have an answer. Oh, we don't have an answer. So I haven't actually reread what I wrote last night. I don't know if it's all the way accurate. So we'll, you know, I'll skim that. But we've gone from when I went to bed last night, there were, you know, the Democrats are aligned. It's 212 of them in the House voting no.
Any of them abstaining?
No.
Wow. And none of them voting yes?
None voted yes.
Okay. I'm always looking at those stragglers like, what is your problem?
Right. Okay. Right. No, they are fully aligned. It's a no vote. It had changed from 4 Republican no votes to 5 Republican no votes. It also changed from, I don't actually remember the amount of people that had yet to vote. Whatever that number was, then went to 8. Okay. And where that put the math at that moment was 217 no's, 207 yeses.
Okay.
So even if the 8 voted yes, it would be 215 yes, 217 no. And they need 218 to pass the bill.
So that's not even close enough for a tiebreaker vote. Isn't it? Who is it that can come in and do the tiebreaker vote?
There isn't a tiebreaker vote, I don't think, in the House because there's enough. But I don't, you know, I'm actually unsure. I don't want to spread any disinformation.
Is it ranked choice? What are we doing?
How's it's definitely working? Not.
Okay. All right.
It's definitely not ranked choice.
I've got more research to do on that.
True.
I'll get back to you guys.
Oh, yikes. So that's when I went to bed last night.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like riding high or anything, but I definitely was like, I mean, I can go to sleep a little bit better knowing that like, if no one folds from the no.
Yeah.
Kind of looking like that's not going to work, at least until something else happens.
Right.
And woke up this morning and Hakeem Jeffries has been speaking. Is he still speaking? Is he still going?
Could be.
He started speaking early morning, middle of the night. Not really sure what to call it. I think simply so that the bill can't just pass in the middle of the night, right? Or the you know, dead like when people aren't, people aren't being able to witness it. So he's up there doing his best, Cory Booker, and one of the Republicans said. That was already voting yes for this, right? Was like, I was doing fine staying awake for this until this guy, the low-budget Obama, started talking.
Wow. Are you allowed to nap? Can you just, like, put your head down on your desk?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I think they're allowed to do whatever they want. Okay. I mean, who's gonna stop them, boo?
I would do it. I would put my head down right on my desk, put my coat over my head like I was in second grade.
And just wait it out. Like, I voted. Just let me know when y'all get back to the vote time.
After recess. Can one of my staff bring me a cucumber sandwich at 6 a.m.? Thank you. Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. Rudo said he was at My People's Market but was hiding. And I don't believe him.
No, you're lying.
No, because he would not be able to resist the opportunity to approach you with
defamatory statements. Yeah.
Whatever
assaults on my character.
Yes. Yes.
Or my outfit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can't not slick talk. City Slicker, you would have something to say.
Rudo.
And we miss you. So quit playing.
Yeah.
Showing up places we are and hiding from us.
Imagine.
Please.
Imagine.
Ain't buying it.
Nope. Not at all, son.
So apparently Jeffries is now calling on Republicans to show John McCain-level courage, which is, you know,
thumbs down.
Yeah, big thumbs down energy is what he's asking for, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great because we went to sleep last night to, what's the movie called? It's about John McCain and Sarah Palin.
Right.
Dang, what was that movie called?
Dang, what was it called?
Yeah,
Woody Harrelson in it.
Doing great over here.
All right.
Totally able to recall things I did just mere hours ago.
Are you searching? I was about to jump in there.
Yeah, I was. You go for it. Yeah, but we watched that last night. So that's, I wonder if that is going to do anything for anyone in this current body. I don't know that they will then. I just feel like a lot of these folks are like, that's the old guard, you know? And they're probably still mad at John McCain for doing that thumbs right. down or something. So I don't know if
Game Change.
Game Change.
Game Change is the name of the movie. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
What happened?
Okay. There? So I just wanted the biggest update that I can give to this. And Michelle, chime in if I'm forgetting or missing anything. From Al Jazeera says, 17 minutes ago, just a little quick recap. House Republicans advanced Trump's tax bill, putting it on course for a final vote later today. Hakeem Jeffries, the top Democrat in the chamber, has been speaking on the floor in a long shot delay tactic, repeatedly noting his allowed time is unlimited. Trump is heading to Iowa for an event kicking off the U.S.'s 250th anniversary celebrations, which, I mean, I think this is the time that empires begin to fall.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, gosh.
They're trying to get this passed by, you know, the self-imposed deadline of July 4th and the self-imposed, I mean, Trump-imposed.
Yeah.
Is what I meant to say.
No holiday for you guys. If we don't get this vote in, is what he's saying.
Trump was big mad last night. Whoa. Wow.
Piping red.
Smoke coming out of his ears. Ooh, what in the world is the matter with these Republicans? This bill is beautiful. Pass it. What are we waiting for? What are you waiting on?
Your mom, bro. That's what we're waiting on.
You know, it's wild to me that that he can just throw that stuff out there, you know, and just act like he actually is doing a thing that's helpful to anybody.
To anyone. Yeah.
Just a quick reminder that this is $4.5 trillion in tax cuts over 10 years, according to the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center, if this passes, the richest Americans would get almost $11,000 in tax cuts next year. Middle class, about $1,700. And working class folks would see about $150.
Cool.
So not only is the bill rigged to reward the top while giving crumbs to the rest of it, it gets worse because they're, in order to pay for these cuts, they're gutting Medicaid and SNAP. And that means a proposed 80-hour a month work requirement for many adults on Medicaid, tighter rules and cost shifting for SNAP. What that means is we'll give you this amount of money and the state can pick up the rest, which I don't know if y'all know. State not looking so good with the money right now.
No. I think what we have is an update from C's. He says, good morning, fam. They're Republicans. Of course, they're going to fold to their leader. Then he says they have the votes. They're just waiting for Jeffries to get off the stage to proceed. I'm hoping that's a projection.
I'm
hoping that you're.
So the reason I only hesitate. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of chatter that they have the votes.
Okay.
And that chatter has been happening since last night when they didn't have the votes. I'm not saying C's is wrong. Good morning, C's. I'm saying, one, I hope that's not the case. But two, there's been a lot of projecting. There was also I saw two different things yesterday that was like, oh, this isn't great. One, an AI video of fake news reporters reporting that Diddy was found guilty and is going to go to jail for life. And the second one was that same thing, fake news reporter reporting that the bill passed and that, you know, Democrats were crying or something.
Wow. We are in Mountain Head. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
So Yeah, like I said, I'm not saying Caesar's wrong. I am hoping that this is not being reported right.
Yeah.
I don't know. What am I holding out hope for? Nothing matters.
Yeah, I'm over it. You know, life.
What am I
doing?
I'm over it. What am I thinking about?
Yeah, survival.
Having the votes is wild. So yeah, Caesar, do you know who flipped?
Yeah, if you can give us an update, Bretta, that'd be awesome. That would be fire.
This text says, good morning from a proud fiance. I'm so damn tired, but I'm not alone in this.
Matt. No, Matt, you're not.
So tired. Like,
you're not.
They all folded but one. Wow. C's. No. What?
Yikes. They stayed up all night to convert those 4 votes out of 5.
So they, what are you? Okay, never mind. No more news.
Shut news down.
I have to not only get to the bunker, but also, what?
We gotta add another day to the news, and it's all prepper talk. We gotta just have
prepper stream. Just forget everything else. Yeah,
prepper stream. Okay. What?
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
We'll do it like Friday morning, so it's like, as soon as you get paid, you need to order these camping materials. Torch flashlight. And we catch you guys every Friday morning for a prepper stream. Like, come on, man. Why does...
I know that we shouldn't be spending much time on distractions, so I won't spend much time on this distraction.
Okay.
C said last night was procedural to make sure they don't look stupid today. Okay. You know what?
Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Very, very true. Very true.
I was just going to mention that yesterday was filled with a bunch of, oh, wow, this is great.
Just
wow, this is great.
Wow.
We got the Diddy verdict. We'll get into that. That is our national story.
C's has a tally.
Oh.
He says the tally was 219 to 213 with only one GOP no vote, Representative Brian Fitzpatrick.
And Brian Fitzpatrick was late to the party, wasn't he? I think that's the name I read last night, that he was like the fifth. When I first saw it, there were 4 no votes. And then I think he was like the fifth no vote.
And remained the only no vote.
Oh, no. What?
I think what you're looking for, if I may quote one piglet. Oh, the deer.
Unfortunately.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Okay, you got to take it over for a second. I got to look for.
So, I'm going to do a quick pivot. Like MJ said, the last couple of days have been boom, boom, boom. Like one thing after the next, gig-wise, you know, a lot of energy. And I am still having I think there's still like a level of adrenaline and dopamine going through my veins right now. My heart is beating a little bit more rapidly than it normally would. In a good way, though. In a good way. Because I'm still on a high from yesterday. And I want to shout out a one treasured fiance and friend, Rudo. Thank you so much for securing that RZA action figure for me in time for me to get it autographed last night when I opened for the RZA twice. And I'm on a high. I am on a high. It's amazing. Cannot believe it. Unbelievable. So opening DJs, what you normally do is, right, you play your set before the main event happens. So there was a screening of the film he just acquired, The Mystery of Chess Boxing, at Hollywood Theater. Shout out to Dan Halstead for putting that together. So I spun an opening set there as people were coming in. And then while preparing, preparing for that set, Dan comes to me and says, okay, so leading up to this, there was a particular DJ controller that RZA wanted to use at the after party at Lansu Chinese Garden. So we got that controller, DJ controller, shout out to my homie, DJ Cliff. We were able to use his Rev 7. All right, everything's good. So now Dan comes over to him. He's like, hey, so change your plans. The RZA is not bringing his laptop. He's gonna call out songs for you to play from your DJ library, from your Serato. And I'm like, naturally, the anxiety starts building because this is the RZA. This is the founder of the Wu-Tang. He is one of the most amazing hip hop producers in the culture.
And period. You are one half of the No Requests DJs.
Yeah. You know, there's a clash there. No requests, take requests from the RZA. What do you do? So I'm just like, yeah, I'm just like, okay, I really do hope I have what he wants. All right. So yeah, instead of me doing like an hour before he comes on and spins his set, I end up spending the whole night and we're talking back and forth. He's on the microphone. He's calling out songs to me. I'm making suggestions. It was a very symbiotic set. It was just. Again, you see, I'm at a loss for words. When the set ended, was able to get him to sign my action figure. Again, Rudo, thank you. Thank you. I put some footage up on my Instagram and on No Request DJ's Instagram. And there was like a whole film crew there. I think this is part of he may be documenting something around the release of the film. So I'm going to say this ahead of time. All right. It's going to get it out there for you guys, possibly see any footage online or in this documentary. As the RZA is calling out songs for me to play, he asked me to play Kanye West Gold Digger. And y'all know how I feel about Kanye. You know how I feel about Kanye. You know how I feel about R. Kelly. You know how I feel about Diddy. So many different artists. The RZA calls out Kanye West Gold Digger, and I'm like, oh, man. Oof. Okay. Throw it on. Everyone goes crazy. He's, singing along to it. And I look at some of the homies that came with me, and they're looking at me like, what? And I'm like, yeah. So that was quite the hilarious moment. So just, I'm getting ahead of it. I'm getting ahead of it. Before anybody says anything, I'm explaining the circumstances. But you already know, I don't mess with no Kanye. I will be spinning the 4th of July extravaganza tomorrow night in Lake Oswego. And I ain't playing no Kanye. I'm back to not play. Listen, no. But yeah, man, that was absolutely amazing. If I were to try to find the right words to encapsulate that whole experience, I would be tempted to bomb atomically. Socrates' philosophies and Hippocrates cannot define how I'll be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform armed robbery. I'll flee with the lottery. Possibly they spotted me. Battle scar shoguns, explosions. My pen is tremendous, ultraviolet shine, blind forensics. I inspect through the future and the millennium, killer bees. They sold 50 gold, 60 platinum. And that's how I would describe the night. It was, it was amazing. Just the last 48 hours. I was able to get a pass for the Wu concert on Tuesday as well. So that was super cool. Run the Jewels open for them, but you guys know I'm not a big Killer Mike fan. And the way, I'm sitting at will call waiting for my ticket, just waiting for my ticket. Other people are getting their tickets. I'm on the list. So I don't got my ticket yet. By the time I got into the stadium, boom, I missed Run the Jewels.
Arena.
The arena. Bam. right into the WooSet. Now, the regret I do have for missing Run the Jewels is possibly getting some solo songs from LP, which I've never seen LP do anything solo. So that would have been great. But yeah. In any event, this has been the week thus far. Last night was a career highlight. And I'm going to be living off that buzz for quite some time. Oof. Man. MJ, have you completed your research?
Yes.
All right. So before you do that, I'm going to say you're listening to X-Way FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
I concluded my research, and it appears that Seize is correct.
Yikes.
Now, by that, I mean they are saying, Mike Johnson is saying, hey, man, we got the votes, and as soon as this dude stops talking, we're going to take the vote, and we're going to take our victory lap. Could be.
Scary hours.
Scary hours for sure. Jeffries is now past the 6-hour mark on his floor speech. So he started right before 5 a.m.
Okay. East Coast time.
And I don't know what will happen here. Or maybe we do.
Maybe we do. We're just not ready to deal with that reality yet.
Right. P-Town is back. Hi, P-Town.
Hey, girl.
So excited. And Michelle said, while the Supreme Court's lying their heads off to make sure only they can make national rulings and keep the nation headed into a Project 2025 dystopia.
Cool. So cool. Well,
hey, what is life?
Speaking of my busyness, one of our family friends posted a video, reposted a video on Facebook of one Kevin Dahlgren. And I could tell from the way they posted it and also from the people in the comments, this is someone that they're not too familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was immediately enraged because the video, which I didn't realize was quite old, but the video was of him and I can't remember Tara's last name, but him and an associate of his in Lloyd Center walking up from the lower level parking upstairs to outside of Barnes & Noble saying, look at all this trash, look at all this debris, look at all these needles. This is
it smells so bad. This is so awful.
There's poo and pee everywhere. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the only way to get to Barnes & Noble at Lloyd Center. Now, guys, I've been living in Portland almost 10 years. I've enjoyed many a day and night at the Lloyd Center. I've worked from the Lloyd Center. There has never been a requirement for me to park in the lower levels. Ever. Especially if I'm trying to get to Barnes & Noble. Of any of the places. Like,
nobody parks down there. Nobody goes down there.
Nobody.
Not a soul.
No.
You have to do too much work to get to the bottom.
Yeah. Are you down there trying to sell ninja stars? What are you doing? What covert activity do you... What are you trying to hawk? Is there a black market down there?
I'm pretty sure that lower level is the dark web.
Yeah.
Like, no one's down there.
There's a door down there.
Yeah, you have to have credentials, you know?
Right.
It's also a city. People live there. And so,
so for him to put this on the internet, which, to my surprise, there's two videos. They shot this twice and posted it separate times. But for them to put that out there, I had to do a response video. I had to do a reaction video to it. It was my first time doing one. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I liked the way you did it.
Yeah.
That split screen situation was
cool. Yeah. And we got quite a bit of conversation on News of My Fiancé Instagram. I enjoyed it.
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
It's hard. We are a duo.
Yeah.
And we also both do, you know, post things independently from News with My Fiancé. Like I said, Ambush has been very visible and I haven't. So I'm missing a lot of things that happen on the internet right now because I'm dealing with the olds.
Yeah.
And I say that with all the love.
Of
and
course.
Respect, you know. So I was late to the party. I was late to the whole thing. And do you want to say more before?
So
should we have a music break? I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, we had some pretty spirited interaction on there. The majority of the people knew Kevin Dahlgren. I didn't know who Tara was until people started, you know, saying, "Oh yeah, they're in a bunch of videos together. She's equally horrible." And then we did get a response from a fellow X-rayer, a fellow volunteer at the station. And they basically were like, you know, I hope it's okay to disagree, agree to disagree with the fiancés. And I made it clear in the post, like, yeah, like, listen, we're just having a conversation here. This isn't like Drake and Kendrick. No one's picking sides. You know, it's all good. And quite often, not quite often, but there are times when Morgan and I don't always see the exact same, you know, side of an issue. And I'm telling you the truth. It's usually because I have yet to understand the concept that she's already understood. And it's like she's pulling me along and I'm like, oh, now I get it. With the exception of Bruce Wayne. So we'll leave that where it is.
Well, yeah, you know.
Hey, man, there's a connection. But they went on to kind of say, hey, look, I think there's nuance in this conversation that's missing. Kevin and Tara have put out videos where they, you know, they've promoted some very thoughtful and well-intentioned work and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, before I could even get a chance to really, like, respond, other people were jumping in like, no, untrue. he has been, like... He's been stealing
demonstrably bad,
right? Of houseless citizens. He's defrauded counties through contract work. And then again, for me, it was just like, okay, if you want to say all those good things are happening as a result of the work they're doing in the community, I need you to be able to explain this specifically. What is the point of being this dishonest in this video? Like, how does this benefit the community? Right. How does this benefit, like, who does this help? Who does this work for? You know, I am very grateful for everybody that joined the conversation, some of the new fiancés we picked up as a result of it. And, of course, you know, neither one of them responded or reacted, because I do tag people. I duck no fades with all the smoke. You know what I'm saying? I need my ones. I need that.
Okay.
Okay. But... Yeah, Grifters in the Wild is new content that you'll be seeing much more from me and she. If Morgan, you know. Sometimes when it comes to that stuff, I'm the spicier one. I love it. I love rolling around in the mud. Love it. Love it.
Well, I wanted to say a couple of things about that.
Yeah.
And... So sorry for the redundancy because you just said some of it, but what I appreciated about that exchange is it was all the way respectful. Everyone was not being, you know, immediately defensive or attacking. You know, attacking or mean or anything like that. And so I do just want to say this and
shout out to our comment section.
Right?
Yeah.
We won't always agree with each other on everything, and that's okay. That is absolutely fine. It's what we don't agree on and why that's worth exploring. And this felt like that to me.
Right.
One thing that we can definitely agree on is that we all have to get better at spotting and then remembering the grifters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I say that with that word not being thrown around the way that it just gets thrown around. Like, this is an actual demonstrable, like, we know it's
documented.
Demonstrated.
Very well demonstrated.
Documented. charged, convicted of.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, so by any measure, whether I agree with this justice system or not, by every measure, it's Kevin Dahlgren is a proven fraud. And he doesn't offer real solutions and doesn't act with compassion and doesn't have a common sense approach to the houseless crisis. Instead, he has stole from multiple counties up and down the West Coast.
Yep.
All while communities and those counties are struggling to respond to homelessness in meaningful, lasting ways. So he even stole the identities of houseless people that he claimed to be helping. And while promoting himself as a disruptor, he misused public funds, stole identities, and exploited vulnerable people for his own gain. Like, we can't just move right past that. He avoided prison, but his misconduct, backed by official investigations, is firmly on the record. And so we can't forget it.
No.
We can't let him just come back and pretend it didn't happen.
Right.
He's promoted as a homeless advocate and YouTube creator, but Dahlgren built a following by criticizing traditional services, progressive services, and calling himself that disruptor of the homelessness industrial complex when he was a direct benefiter of that complex. And I'm
right.
But while making viral videos across Portland, Bend, Seattle, even Hawaii, he was abusing his insider role. So we can't let those things go forgotten.
Yeah.
He was indicted in October 2023. That's just too close for us to still be saying that he is compassionate or offering solutions. Indicted in 2023 on 19 counts, including 7 counts of first degree theft, 5 counts of identity theft, plus 2 aggravated counts of identity theft, and 5 counts of official misconduct. Prosecutors say he used the city funds to buy personal items with a procurement card, which was supposed to go sometimes under fictitious client names, and stole the identities of the people that he was supposed to be helping. In January 2025, again. This is 6 months ago. Dahlgren took a plea deal on 3 of those charges, theft, identity theft, and misconduct, and he was sentenced to 5 days in jail, 5 years probation, 360 hours of community service, and over $16,000 in restitution to the city of Gresham. And what's crazy, and these are the same people that tell you to lock up all the homeless people and then tell you that that it was a Schmidt show and he wasn't doing anything,
right,
and revolving door, and then people don't. This person's deal, Kevin Dahlgren's deal, if he pays back the $16,000 in restitution, then the theft charge is dismissed.
Wow. Wow. So he just needs a new contract that he can use that money to pay off.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why we want to continue to do this show and why we do it in the first place is to not just bring context to the news that we're getting every day, but also connect the dots of what that news actually means to our lives. And so that includes what could seem like petty or salacious or just like talking smack about fellow local people. It includes pointing out who is harmful to us. And so this isn't like for me, it's not an agree to disagree scenario. I need to know what you mean that you see good coming from that before I can move forward in the dialogue, right? Yeah. It's okay to not have the information. It's totally fine to be learning in the comment section to go then figure out what the heck those people are talking about.
Right.
But then what do you do with that information? So for all of my fiancés, I say this, I'm holding your hand when I say this. We get to disagree. What are we doing with the information when you get new information?
Right. Right.
I forever and always hold the space to be able to change my mind. If I have faulty info and I get new info, the opinion changes. It's not about being a flip-flopper or whatever. It's literally like, oh, new information.
Right.
And that should change the way that you are processing whatever the thing is that, you know, you have an opinion about.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to navigate life in the most informed way?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is all out of love and respect.
Yes, of course.
This information is widely available. It isn't a secret. And having missed it is one thing. If you already knew it and were like, nope, but actually, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what you mean by that. Because harmful people in the community do not in any way deserve to be defended. They don't deserve the followings they have.
No.
They don't deserve the respect that you're giving them.
No.
They don't deserve the platform, the voice, the whatever.
The benefit of the doubt.
And they certainly don't deserve the benefit of doubt.
Yeah.
Not when your track record has shown me that there's a lot of reasons to doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple. You keep going back to the well. Like, you just keep going back. You keep defrauding people. You keep robbing counties of money, of resources that are supposed to be spent on this houseless population. So, again, this isn't us trying to, you know,
lambast.
Get our likes up.
Right.
Get lambasted. And, you know, yeah, like, browbeat. Here's the thing. If we can't feel comfortable holding people accountable at the city level, county level, state level, I'm not sure what expectations we have for the nation. And this isn't something where you are putting something at risk, honestly, right? This is your social media interactions. This is a person who is harmful to our community. We cannot make space for that. You care about your community. You care about the people in your community. When you come across people that are harmful, you got to shut that down. People should be unfollowing these accounts. People should be constantly, their comments should have to be shut off. Because we know what you're doing is fraudulent and it's harmful. And if we can't do, like, that's the tiniest bit, I dare call it work. You know what I'm saying? But if we can't feel comfortable in that, especially right now with the things that are happening in Washington and what the, I don't know if anyone's aware of this. We haven't completed a year with Trump yet. It hasn't even been a full year.
In the second term.
Right. And he's got three more of these things behind it.
Bruh.
And then we'll have his third term. So it's like, if we can't be comfortable checking, challenging, and holding people accountable now, in our own city, the future is even more bleak. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all the talk about cancel culture, these people be sure popping back up and getting contracts.
Man.
We got a few texts. Yep. I'll read while you get a music break popping.
Mm-hmm.
AJ said, Hakeem better keep talking, keep on talking till the end of time. Real quick, my man's new, you know, catchphrase is, I'm going to take my sweet time. That's what he's been saying throughout the speech. Like, and let me remind you, I can take my sweet time. My time is unlimited. And if you guys are wondering why can he talk forever, the majority and minority leader in the House are able to use their magic minute, which means they, as the leaders, have unlimited time to be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Rudo said, I love that Ambush and I have both adopted the John Oliver cool.
Yeah.
And that he got his dolly signed. XOXO Rudes.
Rudes.
Bob said, hello, friends. Slept in, arrived late. Meeting you in person last Saturday was a true joy.
Yeah, it was.
What you missed was us saying that it was a huge joy to meet you too, Bob. We were so excited.
We lost our minds.
And Matt says, the amount of creepypastas I've made up in my head about the lower level parking at the Lloyd Center is astounding. I park by Ross. Parking by Ross makes so much sense.
Yeah. Come on, man. Come on.
And then this might be C?
Yeah, it is.
Said, nope, but actually, people have typically had lunch with the folks they defend even after facts are presented. Okay. Dog. Got me there. Got me there.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about one Sean Combs.
Yeah.
Huff the Diddler Dragon. When we get back from this music break.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what? I'm not playing any pop, so don't worry about that.
Just want to say that as an update to the Trump's big, beautiful bill, Democrats are saying it's not too late for Americans to call their representatives. So if you've been at it nonstop the way they say they've been at it nonstop, maybe the bill will, maybe there's a chance that it won't. As long as Hakeem keeps talking, there is time potentially to change some minds.
Yeah.
He apparently just is, at this point, naming the Republicans that have voted for this and also expressed regret for voting for this. And highlighting Lisa Murkowski. I don't know how that lady still has a job. I don't know how Susan Collins still has a job. You know, there's a lot of people that it makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
That you still get elected.
Yeah.
I'm happy that he is, you know, calling these folks out. I hope that he continues. And I guess keep talking, like AJ said, keep talking till you can't.
Yeah.
Because if this is the last line of defense, then by the time, so that other people can hopefully,
you know, work some magic in the background. Yeah. Yeah. I think you said, you know, I don't know how these people still have a job. It goes right back to our point before the break. Accountability. Like when we see, this isn't the first time we've seen them behave this way.
Nah, people just forget that they're this bad.
Yeah.
That this is what they do. They say they won't vote for a certain thing, a person. They won't confirm a rapist. Yeah. They're not going to do those things and then be like, well, I think he learned his lesson. He totes, like, doesn't seem to do that anymore.
Yeah. Y'all got to, again, I said it on Monday night. I'm not sure what the procedure is with whatever the position is. It's different. Different levels and levers of power, primary, impeach, recall. We gotta get more familiar with these processes.
Get them out.
Get them out. If they're not doing the job that we hired them to do, get them. They do not deserve tax dollars to betray us. Get them out. And those two specifically, you got to understand, as much posturing that they do for us, the public, Republican legislators, they know it's all just talk for the camera. They know they can count on those votes every single time. Show them evidence that they can't. Like,
right?
No, they get in line every single time. Yeah, they're gonna go on camera and say what they're gonna say, but the back offices, we already know this is gonna, we got that.
Well, and do remember, to your point, Ambush, that that is the threat that Trump is giving all of them. I will primary you. I will get you out of here. If you don't vote in line with me, you will not have a job.
Right.
He is obviously incredibly powerful and does have, you know, sway within his party and certainly within his constituents. And but the people have the actual state voting power, right? Like, if we're, you know, believing that there's no tipped scales or like they should be more, representatives and senators should be more scared of you than they are of the president.
Yeah.
They just should.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, to your point, that this is the kind of thing that we see from these folks often. She voted, the Senate passed that bill 51-50 because it was a 50-50 tie.
Right.
And J.D. Vance had to do the tie-breaking vote, which means Murkowski was integral to that.
Yep.
And as she passed, you know, like voted for that, she then tells reporters, do I like this bill? No.
Cool. Cool. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you.
The thing is that you cannot continue to vote for things that are bad for other people, bad for all of us, bad for the country in general, and then be like, hey, the House can fix this bill. Or it's not going to pass in the so-and-so, so it's totally fine. Like, we are way far past the let's play politics and, you know, use the Monopoly board or whatever to do certain things and make political career moves. We're way past that. People are dying in your state. People are dying in every state.
Yep.
Every single one. So many states are facing shortfalls with money, and the federal government is saying, I'm going to give you less because I don't like what you do with the money. So we cannot like continue to have the people that vote for the gutting of our, not just regular, you know, what we, infrastructure, streets, you know, like roads, all right, buildings, right, all the things, our actual infrastructure for people. Like, we are talking about the ability for people to have health care. And for whatever, you know, reason that we just cannot stop holding on to the dream of private health care. We just can't let it go. Too many people. People are still dying. People are still losing coverage and not being able to afford the medicine that they need to live. And for the most part, many of the reasons that they need that medicine is this country's fault and capitalism's symptoms of capitalism anyway.
And exploitation.
Absolutely.
And just, yeah. And this is for anyone that, you know, needs additional framing for this. When Morgan is saying, like, this is what's at risk, people, you know, people are going to be losing their health care. People are going to be in even more compromising positions. People are losing. Your people. It's you.
Yeah. Yes.
It's you. It's not someone you know. It's actually you. Because if there is someone in your family that depends on the health care they get right now, once they lose that, who does that fall on? Us. That's you. Anything you're not directly affected by, you will be affected by it. And it's going to reverberate through our communities.
C said Murkowski got kickbacks for her state. That's why she voted for it. And nice. She got two provisions, like more SNAP funding, not just for Alaska, but for a couple of other states, which I'm not sure that, don't know, you know, who she's fighting for there. Now I can't remember the other thing, but yes, absolutely right, C's. And then this one says, yeah, but I mean, we're all going to die someday.
Thank you, Rudo.
And you're right, Rudo. We are. Like, I just don't know that we need to accelerate it. You know, like, we don't have to make it the fastest track.
That was...
Or, you know, we can continue to do that.
I still can't believe that legislator just said that. I mean, we're all going to die. Yeah. Someday.
Not wrong, you know, but not actually the point.
No.
I don't know.
No, maybe prevent it. I don't know. For as long as possible.
Thought?
Maybe. P-Town said that part.
All right, are we doing this?
Yeah. Let's jump into this diddler situation.
So I'll just give a little background.
Yeah.
And then if you want to just jump in.
Sure.
Because you've been, again, front lines.
Ooh. Yeah, I've been front lining some text threads. Wow.
If you weren't aware, here's where we're at with the Sean Combs trial. A federal jury found him guilty on two counts of transporting people across state lines for prostitution, but acquitted him on the most serious charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. That means he's avoiding a life sentence, but still faces up to 20 years in prison. Not likely, though.
Not likely.
He's currently in federal custody. He was denied bail by the judge who cited a pattern of violence, including a 2024 incident while Combs was already under investigation. His sentencing hearing has been scheduled for October 3rd. The defense team is asking for 21 months tops, with time served for the 10 months he's already been in. Prosecutors are pushing for at least 51 months, and the sentencing guidelines suggest he would likely serve about 2 years.
Bruh.
The prosecution's case included dozens of witnesses, from former girlfriends to law enforcement to celebrities like Kid Cudi and Don Rashard, and painted a picture of a man who used drugs, violence, blackmail, and fear to orchestrate abusive sexual encounters with male sex workers and women he controlled. But the jury didn't buy the RICO sex trafficking charges, and I know you're like, why? Mostly because the bar for proving coercion and conspiracy is high, and the defense used old messages and footage to cast doubt on whether these women were truly forced. It is confusing, though, because RICO is incredibly vague. Mm. On purpose,
right?
So that you are able to convict pretty quickly, easily, I guess is the. Outside the courtroom, you had two very different reactions. Supporters were chanting, "Let Puffy go," dancing, playing his music, and survivor advocates calling the verdict a gut punch and a failure of the justice system to protect women.
Did you mean to leave out the one?
Yes.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The verdict wasn't just about one man. It's about the systems that create, enable, and protect him. And it's about the culture we live in, where abuse must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, even when it's in plain sight.
Right.
As long as the abuser is powerful enough. So, yes, I left that out purposely because it's in my bullet points.
Damn. Okay. All right.
Because many people were like, why? How did the feds lose this RICO case? I mean, their track record. What am I looking for? Their win percentage is like, which is called something else.
Yeah,
but it's like 98% or something.
Dude,
like
they
that.
Hit the mark. When the feds come after you, it's a ting. It's a ting.
The idea is they are not bringing cases they can't win.
Right.
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 Like the idea is they do all of the things to make sure that they are going to secure the win.
Right, right.
So despite months of testimony, video evidence, and witness accounts, the government couldn't prove that Diddy ran a criminal enterprise under RICO beyond a reasonable doubt. That raises questions about how hard it is to convict wealthy, well-connected people, even with extensive evidence. It also brings in the consent versus coercion. The jury clearly struggled with whether these relationships were toxic and abusive or criminal. And in America's legal system, abuse and manipulation, coercion, don't always equal illegal.
Yeah.
And that's a problem for survivors and a loophole for abusers. Mm. But that pattern of violence, Ambush, did come it back into play. So like,
right.
He wasn't charged with domestic violence, but the jury saw video of him beating Cassie and the judge denied his bail because of that violence and other violence that was shown.
Right.
Which is also weird because the judge was like, hey, you've established a pattern of violence. The defense was like, hey, man, absolutely not. This case has nothing to do with violence. And he was like, oh, except for in your closing, you said,
uh-oh,
and throughout the entire trial, but in your closing, you said this is about domestic violence. And that's not RICO. Wow. This is about domestic violence. That's not trafficking. Sure, this guy is violent sure, this guy has done some really bad things, might be kind of scummy. But none of that means criminal enterprise RICO.
Right.
So the judge was like, how about this incident and this incident, that pattern of violence, not letting you out on bail.
Right.
Pending sentencing. So we're literally in a space where the court says, we see it, we believe it happened, but we can't convict on something that wasn't charged, right? Like, right. You did not charge right. This person with domestic violence. So we can't convict him on that. But the way that I was reading that interaction very much felt to me like the judge was like, the jury got this wrong. I'm not about to let him out on bail. He's
right.
violent.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That was the subtext I saw. I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times before, and especially when it comes to moments where it looks like maybe we will hold someone accountable yeah. for, you know.
Hit the guy. We got him button too many times.
Heinous crimes against women.
Los said, we were talking about it last night, and Los said his sentencing here is in August.
It's
not established yet?
No, they scheduled the sentencing hearing for October.
October.
But there are hearings that lead up to sentencing. Okay. So both sides get to give their recommendations, and that includes writing memos about it, having people write letters if okay. they have things.
Okay.
And they basically present a package to the gotcha. Judge. Like, hey, man, we think that, like, the defense has already said, we think he should get 21 months. He's done 10. Let him handle this scandal and be done with this thing. So that's my understanding, though, is okay. October is when we'll be looking at the actual sentencing hearing.
Which is good.
So I mean, far.
So he most likely, he probably did say October, because my response was like, okay, well, at least he's, you know, we know he's there till then. You know.
And that is, no matter what or when that hearing is, we know that the judge has denied bail pending sentencing. So
right.
he will not, the charges that he was convicted of do not allow you to get out.
Right.
Pending sentencing. And he was like, also, this dude's violent. So we absolutely cannot do that.
Right. I don't want to say outside of this. Puffy is not a good person, period. Puffy's never really been a good person to other people.
He is an exploiter.
Right. And this is...
loud and proud capitalist.
Again, going back to the theme of accountability and us playing our part. Like, the Target boycott is still happening.
Yes.
Very, very nice. Awesome. It's just about small decisions we have to make. Shout out to the homie Tone. In one of the text threads, he was running down. Because my whole thing was, if you took all this away, right, and just looked at Puffy's professional career, we have allowed ourselves to dance through all of it. To dance through all the chaos and all the things that he's done to other people. So, Black Rob, Bad Boy artist, passed away in the hospital, broke without healthcare. Mm. Craig Mack, another Bad Boy artist, passed away while in a cult down south. Again, healthcare issues. Big, you know, Mace left, went to church, referred to Puff in the third person as the devil for years.
Mm-hmm.
The Lox fought to leave Bad Boy. G Dep went to prison. Shine did 10 years.
Went to prison.
Yeah, did 10 years for Puff. Came home after his bid, hung out with Puff. Puff gave him $50,000. You know, as a thank you. And the day after that, Tone says, Shine saw Puff blow $500,000 on Cassie in Paris.
What?
Roger Bonds, former security guard from 2010 to 2022, has a lot to say. Gene Deal, former security guard from 1992 to the 2000s, also has been doing interviews about Puff. Mark Curry, also former Bad Boy artist and writer, wrote a book about Puff. Danity Kane speaks about Puff. Total speak. Like, we have had decades.
Decades.
Of people coming forward telling us how bad of a person this was. And because it's not what we found out within the last 2 or 3 years, it was just like, well, isn't that just the music business? Or isn't that just how it is? And, you know, he's Puff. He's got a lot going on. Weren't the people that work for him responsible? Why is this all falling on Puff? We should have stopped buying his music a very long time. We should have stopped playing his music a very long time in support of the artist that he was extorting.
I just want to say that this is also, this is not the first woman that he has beaten.
No, it's not.
This is not the first person he has physically assaulted. Like, he has a reputation for wilding out, right? And multiple mothers of his children have been beaten by this man.
Right. Right.
Multiple. There are conspiracies around Kim Porter's death.
Yep.
There are conspiracies around, and this is not me being Jaguar right. I promise you that. I promise you that. But there are conspiracies around what happened to Al B. Shore, Andre Harrell. Who am I forgetting? Heavy D. Who were all the people that started Uptown?
Yeah, Andre Harrell.
Al B. Shore, or they were all in the thing. It was Kim. Yeah. Kim Porter, Al B. Shore, Andre Harrell, Puff, and another person. All of those people are dead except for Puff and Al B. Shore. And Al B. Shore, definitely there was something.
Poisoning, yeah. Yeah. He talked about being poisoned. There was an attempt on his life.
The interesting thing to me when it comes to how, you know, this kind of stuff shakes out is what information sticks with people. And that, I guess, goes back to the beginning of this show and when we were saying it's important to be able to spot and then remember who these grifters are or who these harmful people are. There's so much that happens with any of these people, right? That you can't, I don't expect everybody to know everything that has happened in this one person's career that has been public for nearly 40 years. Like, I don't expect that. But what I do expect is that when you hear things, you don't immediately dismiss it as couldn't be him.
Right.
We are, I mean, okay, well, I will skip ahead. I will seize with a text that's just kind of too perfect. And then I'll come back to what I was saying.
Okay.
Because to your point, when this verdict came in, and I had no idea. I knew that there were people out there that were supporters of Diddy because I am watching this as much as I can stomach, right? Like, right. I can't devote a whole bunch of time to this trial, or couldn't, because it's too hard. It is too painful, too impactful, too hard to listen to people trivialize the level of abuse that was happening. And so I know that there were people that were supporting him out there. I didn't know there were that many, and I didn't know they was out here doing this.
Doing the most.
So as the family walked out, the people were congratulating them. Congratulations. He's coming home. I'm so happy for you. Duh, duh, duh. And then they started pouring baby oil on each other. These supporters, not his family, to be clear. In celebration. So Caesar's text says, pouring baby oil on yourself outside a courtroom celebrating a Diddy acquittal helps me understand why Trump wants to take away those folks' entitlement. What were those people doing? Buffoonery? Chicanery?
Definitely chicanery.
Absolute. Oh. I don't even know. Honestly, that... Seeing that, because then, you know, shout out to the another text thread that we have, a group chat that we're both in. You know, Faith was like, not they pouring baby oil on each other. And Marcus was like, nah, please let that be a lie.
Right.
And she was like, oh, there's a video.
Please let it
when
be
I AI. Saw the video.
I've made a point not to watch it.
I mean, don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
You know exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
You can imagine.
It looks like a scene from The Boondocks.
It is a scene from The Boondocks. It's absolutely a scene from The Boondocks. This, I mean, we are cooked, just fried and fertilized out here.
There it is, Michelle. We are cooked. We got it in. Shelly.
Oh, is that is there a quota?
Yeah. No, it's just like, you know, what's it? Hey. MJ, we are cooked. We got to have that, you know.
I mean, this is big bad.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything, you know, all these other cultural moments, we're really missing the forest for the trees. You know what I mean? Like, folks are arguing the wrong things all day. And what this really... Sorry, I just got distracted by... I just got distracted by P. Town's text. What the whole baby oil? Yes, baby oil.
P. Town.
We have gone from this is a joke, like that can't be real. Oh, wait, the feds found thousands of bottles of baby oil in your home. Oh, wait, they found thousands more elsewhere too. To now, we are going to shower ourselves in that, in our clothes too. Like they're... There are people with the clothes, you know, like this is we're outside. We're outside the federal courthouse. Imagine baby oil strewn about on the courthouse steps, which is what I saw. There are things that people do not see.
Who's cleaning that crap up?
I don't know. Okay. There are things that we don't get to because we are stuck on the conspiracies and the fake things to be mad at so that you can uphold, not, you know, so that folks can uphold the ability for abusers to get away with abuse. So we don't even, we completely miss the systems of oppression that a verdict like this is.
Right.
And continues to uphold. The fact that he was only convicted on the prostitution charges, despite video evidence of abuse, multiple survivors' testimonies, clear pattern of coercive control, multiple, the testimony of his former assistant Capricorn, who said, yes, he took me, he forced me to take him to Kid Cudi's house.
Right.
Guns drawn in the car. They broke in that man's house, put his dog up in a room, locked his dog in a room, went through his Christmas presents that he had bought for his family, and then blew up his car.
Like, come on, man.
And Kid Cudi testified that years later, after they tried to talk it out, Puff did not apologize, did not, you know, take accountability for it at one meeting. The next time they see each other, he apologizes to Cudi for the, quote, car thing.
Tell me why you want that man on the streets.
The defense wasn't like, this egregious, Your Honor, this never happened. They were like, well, isn't this really Cassie's fault?
Right.
Didn't Cassie play you and him at the same time? Shouldn't we be mad at that woman?
Lord forbid she tried to escape him.
Lord forbid. This reflects, like, systems that just normalize male dominance, it downplays violence against women, and demands that there are perfect victims for an abuser to be held accountable. Mm. There is no such thing as a perfect victim. And this is another reason why I don't like the idea of, like, exceptions. No abortions, except if, you know, she's 10 and her dad did it. Like, is that the perfect victim?
Right.
Rape culture teaches this entire society to ask the question, why didn't she leave and was it really that bad? Instead of, why is he doing that?
Right. Right. What could she have done to avoid being a victim? What?
You're not asking, why did he do that? You're not asking why after he was raided by the feds, did he continue to have these same exact hotel nights with a different woman? Did he use those as punishment for multiple times with her? Like, this is all of them. This is all branches of oppression that we end up sitting with.
Yeah.
With a verdict like this. But the massage noir is so heavy.
It's exhausting. It's exhaustingly heavy. I don't know how y'all do it.
Massage noir, in case you aren't aware, is the specific anti-Black misogyny faced by Black women and femmes. Cassie and the other women weren't fully believed, not because they lacked evidence, but because they are Black and women of color, talking about sex, survival, and abuse with a powerful, wealthy, liked, or lovable man who isn't actually lovable.
Yeah.
Who actually has the reputation for being one of the worst.
Yep. And non-coincidentally changed his name to Love.
Yeah. He is an exploiter. No question. Like, that's the thing that should make you sit. You know,
I thought you don't like wage theft.
Literally. Doing the biggest wage theft, stealing the money out of the mouths of the artists that create revenue for him.
Right.
This is not the kind of thing that you see. Like, to be clear, the public response of people mocking freak offs and rubbing baby oil on themselves in support isn't just about Diddy. This does not happen. These are not the responses when the women are white. When the men are white. Take the men out of it. It doesn't happen when the women are white. This is very specific, normalized sexualization, shame, and the discarding of Black and women of color's experiences completely. Rubbing baby oil on yourself in solidarity with Sean Combs? This verdict isn't just bad, right? This verdict is expected. Mm. This verdict is not shocking, no. But it is a humongous signal, a message, loud, a beacon, especially as women are losing rights left and right, that your abusers are not going to be held accountable. Who are you going to run to?
Right.
I don't hear anything from men except for we protect women until it's time to do it, apparently.
It's such a short cape they want to put on and pretend to be heroes.
It's a bib.
Yeah, it's a bib. C said, television molded the image of Diddy for the general public. When MTV aired Making the Band, we watched those kids walk across the bridge for cheesecake.
Fam.
We laughed because why would MTV film abuse? But guess what? They did.
You know what? That is so real, because why would MTV film abuse? And like, reality TV is nothing but abuse and exploitation, and they pioneered it.
Bruh.
Bang, bang. Yes, they are pioneers. You out here spitting.
You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Harlem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
I'm honestly.
Yeah.
I could keep going for an hour and a half.
I was looking at you about Jeffrey's to say that.
This situation.
Like, I could do another hour.
It's just to see people be so dismissive, to really misunderstand what organized criminal enterprise means. I know that we got to go, so I won't do too much. The way that RICO is written is very purposely vague and broad so that people like mob bosses who were very obviously integral and instrumental in things happening, but not the hand that did it.
Right.
not the one that lit the Molotov.
Right.
To be able to hold them responsible for the crimes that they were, in fact, causing.
Right.
From the beginning, the defense has been, and I mean that from his own legal team and every single person on the internet, bot on the internet, whatever, who is in defense of him, has been saying, this is domestic violence. This isn't RICO. The difference is, when you use your staff that you pay through your company to clean up your personal things,
company cards,
you are reimbursing people for staff. You are reimbursing staff for buying drugs, supplying drugs. You are reimbursing staff for the baby oil they buy. You are having staff set up the hotel rooms. They're the ones who come in and clean it up before the other staff comes and cleans it up. They bribe hotel staff so that those things don't get out. When you use your business and pay your staff to either do crimes or cover crimes up, that is a criminal organization slash enterprise. It does not have to be the mob. It doesn't have to be 18,000 workers doing something.
Right.
It can be two people.
Yeah.
And he had way more than two people doing the hiding the beaten up women, taking them to hotels, making sure they're okay until they can be resurfaced.
Purchasing medical supplies,
having doctors come see these people, but you're paying with it with your company's funds. That's what that is. Definitionally. Okay. It's time to go.
Yeah. Before we go, I want to make a quick announcement. An event coming up tomorrow. X-Ray FM presents We Don't Need This Fascist Groove Thing. An anti-fascist 4th of July party live at Swan Dive on Friday, July 4th, with musical acts Black Shelton, Piggy Bank, Whisper Hiss, and Vague Fugue. I believe so.
I can't see that far away.
That's all right. Apologies, guys, if I messed your name up. Please, no. Plus, live DJ set from X-Ray Zone down the rabbit hole. All proceeds from the event go directly to Doctors Without Borders. It's a small way that we can help make a difference this 4th of July. The event starts at 7 p.m. this Friday at Swan Dive. And for more information, you can go to xray.fm and click on the banner. So, boom, that's popping off tomorrow night. Any of our listeners that are in Lake Oswego or want to head to that celebration, I'll be there spinning that. So, fun times. You got some performances. I'll be spinning in between and doing the opening and closing sets. So, there's that. And also, we are officially a month out from the Black Podcast Fest, happening August 2nd. More information will be popping up on social media. We're starting all the marketing and branding now, but I'm really looking forward to being able to do some live podcast sessions and have you guys, you know, in the audience. But you know, that was another episode of News of My Fiance, brought to you by One Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. Residual Audio. Thank you. I love it every single time. I need it every time. When you're not here, it's like, who's going to do it? Thank you, everyone that, you know, hopped on the text with us. These things were buzzing.
Yeah, didn't see a lot.
Yeah. Playlist is updated, and y'all know what it is. Do not let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you Monday night, 6:30 to 8:30 on the YouTubes.
Bye.